De ensinar o horário das 23 horas.
Queria ser profissional, passar uma hora mais tardia. Ser como a Pantera Negra, um maestro.
Um maestro não, um sinal horário pontual e com garra. Perguntam-nos o que temos em comum. Uma frequência de 107.9, onde encontras pessoas que nem imaginas que existem.
SSB, Surf e Skate Shop, vestuário e acessórios das melhores marcas. Tábuas de skate, Fidelity Dan, ténis, Vans, Fidel, Supra, DC e América, latas de grafo, montanha. SSB, no Centro Comercial Bolinis, na Avenida Fernão Magalhães. Fique só no Salão Brasil, 12 de dezembro. Concerto de aniversário. Apoio Rádio Universidade de Coimbra.
Rádio Universidade de Coimbra!
O tio Tomás tinha uma quinta.
Ia, ia, oh! E nessa quinta havia galo. Ia, ia, oh! E esse galo comia relva. Ia, ia, oh!
Comia relva o quê, pá? Aquilo agora está tudo castadinho.
Bem-vindos à segunda hora de Preto no Branco, música invisível e também tributo aos Cósmicos da RUC. Três discos de música invisível de Brian Eno com os Cluster, de Joaquim Ordelias e de Tamibis. E ainda com os Harmonia, ao qual se juntaram durante algumas sessões de gravação, Michael Roder dos Noi e também Harmonia. Álbuns Harmonia Nino 76, reeditado este ano, mas só aparecido a primeira edição em 1997. De 76, Cluster and Nino. E 77, After the Heat com Inomibius e Rodelius. Ainda excertos que nos vão acompanhar durante esta segunda hora de um documentário produzido pela BBC, intitulado Krautrock, The Rebirth of Germany. Olá, boa noite e bem-vindos à segunda hora.
Electronic tradition was to be found in Cologne, where leading avant-garde composer Karlheinz Stockhausen was based.
Cologne was, in the beginning of the 60s, the center of modern music worldwide, you can say. And Stockhausen was one of the composers who was here. And he gave some lectures, and I said to him, I said, Mr. Stockhausen, I can do anything. All examinations I failed. And he said, what do you want to become? I said, composer, of course. And then he looked at me. Your story sounds good. I take you. I heard from an undertaker that in the basement he was doing a side business with thrown out studio equipment from the radio station. And so I went, entered his shop. The coffins were there. Come with me to my catacombs, he said. And I found sine wave generators Stockhausen had used for the first time. And these filters, I remember them so well, how he was working with it. Stockhausen had married a rich woman, and I thought I'd do exactly the same, and was succeeding, actually. I was going to Switzerland to become teacher, whatever it was, it doesn't matter. And suddenly I was engaged, but instead of taking too much care for the rich girls, there was a guitar player. He wanted to have some lessons from me, and I could see how talented he was. So he finished the school, and we together founded CAN. As I said, better a small bird in the hand than a pigeon on the roof.
Five brilliant individuals. CAN combine the influences of the European avant-garde, jazz and minimalism.
CAN was founded in 68. That was the year of the kind of student revolutions in Germany. A mental revolution happened at that time. The war was definitely finished, and the old way of thinking had to be destroyed. We did not try to play rock and roll because we knew it's not the thing we are born with, and we have to find our own way.
To CAN's driving sound was the drumming of Jackie Liebertzeit, who had been Germany's top jazz drummer, until he had an epiphany.
A guy came to me and said, you must play monotonous. So he said it with the voice and with the expression, so I was quite impressed. I don't know, it was a kind of freak, maybe he had taken a LSD trip or something. He was completely, I don't know, strange. And I started thinking about it. To play monotonous. What did he mean, monotonous? So I started to repeat things.
Played live in Munich, had a concert there, which was a sold-out concert. And I was sitting in the afternoon with Jackie Liebertzeit, with a drummer, in a cafe. And suddenly I saw someone coming up the street, in the middle of the street, and we were praying to God and getting down to the street and behaving very strange. And I said to Jackie, we have our new singer.
Damals look ich an Nomad. Nomad in the 21st century. Traveler. Hippie, but not really hippie. Metaphysical transporter. Human being.
I went to Damo and said, what are you doing tonight? He said, oh, nothing, I don't have anything to do. Like, do you want to come singer in a concert? Sold out. Yes, and when, where do we make a rehearsal? Said, no rehearsal. No, you go on stage and then you sing. Don't worry. Damo was first like a samurai, but a very peaceful one. But suddenly, out of nothing, he broke out in an eruption like a volcano. Hey, you. And the people got so aggressive. Say about 30 people were left. Among them was David Niven. And they asked him, Mr. Niven, what do you think about this music? He said, it was great, but I didn't know it was music.
Actually, I don't have so much memories because that time I was quite stoned. And that's it.
Kilometers north of Cologne on the Autobahn lies Düsseldorf. The Liverpool to Cologne's Manchester. Düsseldorf would give the world Germany's greatest act, but in 1970 we might not have recognized them. Creative nucleus of the band. Kraftwerk then were a krautrock band who also experimented with electronics and shared the same vision of German music as their peers.
Ja, für uns war das mehr ein Problem, überhaupt Musik machen zu können in der Bundesrepublik oder so nach dem Krieg, wo die lebendige Musik, Alltagsmusik, verschwunden war, die war ausgelöscht. Und unsere Generation, wir mussten halt wieder von vorne starten.
Ralph and Florian would employ what they would later call Musikarbeiter, music workers.
At that time I was 20 and I was working in a psychiatrist hospital, and there was another guy working the same job, and he was invited to join a band called Kraftwerk in the studio. He asked me, would you like to join me? And I didn't know the band, and I didn't have anything better going on, so I said, okay, I'll join you. And when I jammed with Ralf Hütter, it was so apparent that we both had the same idea for melody and harmony, which was definitely not American, not blues. It was a European music. There's a German expression called Stunde Null, hour zero, and that was more or less my situation. So I was really fortunate to meet the those guys at that time.
Rutter and Kraftwerk drummer Klaus Dinger would leave Ralph and Flurian to form their own project in 1971 called Neu.
Well, the basic idea of this fast forward movement, that was already with us when we performed as Kraftwerk, but when Klaus and I started recording the first Neu album, we just had this basic vision.
I always lived near water. I lived near water in Hamburg, where I was born, in Munich, right next to the river Isar, in Winslow, on the Bolin, River Bolin, and in Pakistan at the seaside, and Düsseldorf at the Rhine. And I feel very comfortable in water, with water, and it has some an effect. I can't really explain it. It's like time. It's something that has to do with time, the passage of time. And in a way, it's also a picture like of music, moving along like the music. There's some parallels.
Boy, to put Neu into words, the drummer was playing in a way that when you listen to it, allowed your thoughts to flow, allowed emotions to come from within and occupy the active parts of your mind, I thought. It allowed beauty. To get there, the guy has somehow found a way to free himself from the tyranny of stupid blues, rock, of all conventions that I'd ever heard. Some sort of a pastoral psychedelicism.
I mean, at that time, it was still a period of leaving the German history behind. That was also part of the story. I mean, the conservative remains of post-war Germany, of Nazi times, was still to be found everywhere. I admired Willy Brandt, for instance. That was a figure I really looked up to. And Neu once played for Willy Brandt. He was for reconciliation of Germany with the Eastern countries, kneeling down in Warsaw, asking for forgiveness in the name of Germany. And that was something that really appealed to my thinking.
Despite combining a spirit of sonic adventure with a desire to transcend Germany's past, none of these bands could catch a cold in their homeland in the early 70s. Germans who liked progressive rock simply bought records by British and American bands. 60s, German record companies had been searching for their own Beatles, without success. But in 1969, Uwe Nettelbeck, a sort of Teutonic Tony Wilson, was tasked by Polydor to find the electronic Beatles. This is what he came up with. Faust formed in 1971. They came from Wümme, near Hamburg.
Yeah, so Uwe was interested in revolutionary ideas, and he took this opportunity and sold us maybe as the new Beatles, but that's where it ends. He was well aware, and everybody except Polydor was well aware, that we were doing experimental stuff. And they gave us a studio, which was great, with a day and night sound engineer at our disposition, which was great. We were very privileged. Because of the social situation in the 60s, 60s, 70s, there was lots of revolutionary thoughts in the air on all levels. So I guess artists usually are just a mirror of what's happening. And rock and roll was not enough to reflect all the facets of what was happening. So we are very influenced by whatever is around us. So anything that sounds good to us, that looks good, sounds good to us, we would use it. And so it's left to hazard, to chance. Cement mixer, I like it, so I will play it. And I try to go a bit deeper into that. You know, living is art, art is living, life is art. Funny enough, after they had known us, they realized we were quite okay, and you know, we had visit from the locals. I remember one, what do you call that, somebody who is simple in the mind, you know, the village idiot. When we would play our music, it would soothe his mind.
Quite what German Polydor had in mind. They and the other German bands were coming to the attention of foreign ears.
Who do you think you are kidding, Mr. Hitler, if you think we're on the run?
Britain in the 70s was still obsessed by the war. We won, they were still the enemy, and German jokes were part of our everyday culture. And the British music press were not immune. They grouped all the experimental German groups going under the label Krautrock.
So it was good to be called Krautrock. We even made a song like this, you know, Krautrock.
I remember that from my father, that the crowds are coming, you know, that was the word they said because of sauerkraut.
Deutschland, Deutschland, jubel.
Krautrock, actually, I don't like it so much. It's a kind of insult.
Yeah, watch! Who's this then? Stark, you! I'll do the funny more.
Really, it makes me laugh because I don't feel like making Krautrock, but of course you could also say it's a terrible name. It's like if the French would say Bosch Rock or something like that.
I'm trying to cheer her up, you stupid Kraut!
And furthermore, there was no real Krautrock scene. The bands came from all over Germany and were not even aware of each other. Perhaps the only personal link between them was Conny Planck, a visionary producer who worked with Cluster, Cam, Kraftwerk and Neu. It wasn't all bad though. The interest in Britain translated into foreign record sales. The early to mid-70s was the height of prog rock in the UK, and the krautrock bands fit in nicely. The UK's number one prog label, Virgin, signed nearly all the krautrockers, and in one case, bit off more than they could chew.
Richard Branson was, gambling. So he gambled, he said, let's go to Germany. Okay, I gamble on those. It didn't work with Faust because we still had the same attitude, no compromise. And then he lost interest in us. Or I think we made trouble, but I can't remember really. We smoked too much. I can't remember.
Concert, 6,000 people were in this cathedral where just 2,000 had a chance even to stand, not to sit, to stand. You can imagine how the church did look like when all the crowd went out. So that was such a disaster. And then I got a letter from the Vatican saying because of this, we are not allowed to play in a Catholic church again. Then about 3 weeks later, I got a letter from the dean of the Liverpool Cathedral in England. He heard about it and said, okay, if they don't allow you to play in any of their cathedrals, we invite you to all of our cathedrals worldwide. Coventry was great, you know, we stood in a hotel in Coventry and I went out in the morning of the country. At the lobby, there was a newsstand and I saw a picture of myself. So I read the line, 40 years back, they came to bomb the place. Today they come with synthesizers.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier.
But the band who would truly break through were Kraftwerk. By 1974, Ralph and Florian had gone totally electronic, ditching the guitar and drums and hiring other Musikarbeiter to work in their famous Kling Klang studio.
This is famous Mintopstrasse here, where we are right now at the moment. This is not so interesting for normal people, but for electronic music people, they know what is Mintopstrasse because the Kling Klang studio was there. See much here. It's just some steps. That was the way up through that door. And then to the left was the main entrance to the Kling Klang studio, which is only these two windows.
Thank you.
Germany developed more and more after the war, everything had to be rebuilt, neu aufbauen. As they built more autobahns and more autobahns, and we could drive longer autobahns and longer and faster, and the engines became stronger, and the cars were more beautiful and more beautiful. Young men, which we were in between, could afford, could really buy such cars, and we took a car and went just for fun on the autobahn. 120, 140, 150, that was fun. We opened the window and we heard... Or you heard the wind. And we made all of these things music.
Combining a progressive technological vision of Germany with electronic music, humor, and romanticism, Kraftwerk had transcended krautrock. They didn't even look like scruffy krautrockers anymore.
Ralf and Florian became from very elegant and rich houses. They could afford to have handmade shoes. And Ralf and Florian, they rub their noses on the windows of shoe shops, you know, where they made for 1,000 Deutschmarks handmade shoes. We wanted to be so different from England, from America. This was why we cut our hair short. We wore elegant suits, which were made for us, you know.
The big one for me was Radioactivity. I would go to sleep at night listening to Geiger counter. All it is as they manipulate the wand closer and farther from a piece of radioactive material. I went shopping once for asparagus with Florian Schneider. I met the two of them, and he suggested, he said, well, if you like, it is the asparagus season. I am going to the market to select some asparagus. Would you like to come along? And I said, yes, I would. And we had a very nice time doing that.
Werdet ihr so weit sein, dass durch euren Adern statt Blut Strom fließt?
Ich weiß nicht. Der Mensch hat ja sowieso Mikroströme oder so. Wenn man EKG macht, dann sieht man das ja, dass das gar nicht getrennt ist. Das ist nicht irgendwie getrennt vom Menschen oder so. Das ist ein Widerspruch in sich, Natur und Technik. Das fällt für uns irgendwie zusammen. Wir sehen das irgendwie mehr als Einheit.
Wie seht ihr euch selbst bei der Arbeit? Eher als Musiker oder als Techniker?
Wir sind Musikarbeiter. Wir nennen uns selbst Musikarbeiter.
I never felt like a Mensch-Maschine, you know. I was not a music worker. As Ralf always liked and used to explain, I always corrected him afterwards. I'm not Ralf. I'm not. I don't feel. Don't tell that anymore. You know, I'm not a music worker. It was always fun until the end. You know, but the end is always not so fun because it's end. You know, it's stop.
Kraftwerk's complete artistic vision transformed them into the one truly global German band. The same could not be said of their electronic peers, such as the equally pioneering Cluster, who by the early 70s decided it was time to leave Berlin and get back to the residence in a 16th century hamlet in Forst in Lower Saxony, where they were joined by Neu guitarist Michael Jutta to form Harmonium.
right here. You see the room on that photo, on the hanging on the wall. It's the inside of the first Harmonia album. Yes, and you see that oven. That was the only way we could heat the studio in winter. You can imagine the cold fingers, cold feet. It's so special to have this view. You look for miles and you don't see any human structure.
In 1974, Harmonia's ambient electronica came to the attention of a British rock star in search of a new direction.
I first liked rock music without knowing Brian. And I thought to myself, what a stupid, extravagant guy that must be from the picture, just from the picture.
He came to a concert of Harmonia in Hamburg in 74. It was a very nice jam. And we said to him, come to our place and let's do some real music.
Another 2 years passed before he rang and said, can I come and see you? And that's what he did.
Ryan came to our house to learn from us, and we didn't go to him to learn from him. He didn't know what to do, really, I think, in this moment. He was at the dead end of the street.
There was not the idea to record an album.
record an album. We just exchanged ideas, took walks and played ping pong even and stuff like that. It was very, very pleasant stay. And at the end we had, I think, three tapes full of music, which Brian took with him. I mean, he brought those blank tapes with him. We were poor, we didn't have blank tapes.
It did really change a lot in our life. But he said to me once in studio, he said, "Don't worry, Noby, you will be rich as well one day." But he still is not right.
He left Forst, and the idea was to continue working together, but that didn't happen. He left to record, I think it was Low with David Bowie.
In 1976, David Bowie started a new career in a new town. Bowie was famous for being in the right place at the right time, and in 76, he knew Berlin was the place to be. Accompanied by Brian Eno, Bowie would record his albums Low and Heroes in Berlin's magnificent Hansa studio.
Memories are that this room has a nice acoustic. Maybe you can listen to it. You can hear this little echo behind my claps. And I think that was what David Bowie liked very much, with this big hole by the wall.
Studio's control room, now a bar, looked out upon a watchtower on the Berlin Wall.
I'm quite sure they knew what was going on here. And when we sat in front of this console with a few lamps on top, I just directed one of the lamp lights to the policeman, and David and Tony just jumped down under the console and said, "Don't do that!" And I said, "It's funny, it's a joke, they would never hurt us anyway."
Bowie would assimilate some of the krautrock vibe on both albums. Side 2 of Low would showcase Eno's cluster influences, and Bowie originally intended to record Heroes with krautrock musicians.
David Bowie called me in 77, and that would have been interesting to record with Brian Eno and David Bowie in Berlin, but something went wrong. He said that those two tracks of Noise 75 were his favorite tracks, Hero and After Eight. It's anybody's guess where this the name for that album came from.
Released in 77, Heroes was a big hit for David Bowie. But the real Heroes were the krautrock music.
Chifres.
Ribatejo.
Campino.
Salvaterra de Marcos.
Barrancos.
Manuel Pinho.
É isso.
Já tinha dito, pá.
Hulk. Imagens para quê?